We look at this final part of our talk this morning. Jesus is the life. Now, this verse, a very, very well-known verse, doesn't just come out of nowhere. It's in the middle of a conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. And it starts off in verse 1 with the phrase, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, for whatever reason, many of us here this morning do have troubled hearts. We do have troubled hearts. We're anxious, we're worried. And I want to suggest that there are four different types of people who might be worried here this morning. And I'm going to kind of characterize each person, but you might fit in one of these categories, you might fit in two of these categories, but we'll see as we go along. Let's start with the ambitious professional. The ambitious professional for whom life is all about power. This person sacrificed so much just to get this job that they've got. Late nights, early mornings, long hours. But it was all worth it because they were seeing their influence grow in the company where they were working. It was a sure thing that promotion was coming their way. But suddenly, that was all taken away and given to someone else. And so this person is troubled because, you know, what if I'm stuck in this dead-end job forever? What if my influence never grows? What if I'm always in this position? How might we comfort someone who is troubled like that? Well, we might say, don't worry, next time you'll get that promotion. Next time you'll get that job. Don't worry about it. But that's not how Jesus comforts. Second person, the anxious parent. This person sees life through the lens of control. Life is all about control. And this person has got so many plates spinning in the air, it's unreal. It's amazing that none of these plates have dropped yet. With kids' homework, social lives, with kids' future prospects, these things are always weighing down on this anxious parent. Then there's like the house, there's church, there's family responsibilities. Everything is up in the air, and this person is using so much energy just to keep all these plates spinning. And so this person is troubled, because what happens if I slip up? What happens if one of these plates drops? How might we comfort that person? We might say, oh, don't worry, it will all work out. It will all be fine in the end. That's not how Jesus comforts. Third person. Incidentally, this is me. Third person, the insta-famous teen. Metaphorically me. For whom life is all about approval. This person has more likes, friends, and followers than anyone could possibly count. Every outfit, every exam, every match or party is an opportunity to win admirers and friends. But lately, this person has been troubled. Because actually, all these things, they're not just chances to win approval, they're risks. What if I mess up? What if everyone sees how messy I am? What if people don't like me? What will they think of me? How might we comfort that person? Well, we'd say to them, oh, don't worry about it. They'll love you. They'll love you. You're brilliant. You're wonderful. They will love you. You will have everyone's approval. Jesus doesn't comfort like that. The final person. This person is the relaxed and reclined. For whom every part of life is about pursuing comfort. This person's favourite story is Goldilocks and the Three Bears. This person's great hope in life is that nothing should be either too hot, too dramatic or busy, or too cold, too unpleasant or difficult. Rather, everything has to be just right. But lately, this relaxed and reclined person is troubled because responsibilities are pressing in and just making life hard. It's difficult. How might we comfort this troubled person? Well, we'd say, take it easy. Maybe you should cut back a little bit. Jesus doesn't comfort like that. How does Jesus comfort? Well, Jesus knows that life is so much more than power, control, approval, or comfort. Life is so much more than that. And so when Jesus comforts, he doesn't comfort in those terms. He comforts according to what life really is about. Now, life is a really big deal in the book of John. It's a really big deal. And it comes up over and over again. Right at the end of the book of John, in chapter 20, verse 31, we read this. John is looking back at everything he's written and he says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Life in his name. John's gospel is all about life. Actually, it starts with life as well, because right at the beginning, in chapter 1, the first three verses, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." This is a picture of life at its best, life at its fullest, which God the Son enjoyed in all eternity with the Father. But the good news in John is that Jesus came to share that life with us. John chapter 10, verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Life that is full, life that is abundant, life that is real, life that is more than power, control, approval, or comfort. But it's still kind of fuzzy. What is that life? What is it that Jesus offers? John 17, verse 3. "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." What is eternal life? What is life to the full that's more than power and all those other things? Life is knowing God. Being with God, being closely connected with him in fellowship and friendship. That is what life is all about. And so Jesus comforts us according to what life really is. The first three verses of John 14. This is how Jesus comforts. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." See, for Jesus, if we lose power, control, approval, or comfort, it's okay. It's not easy, but it's okay. Because real life is just around the corner for those who are trusting in Jesus. I love how he describes heaven in these verses. He describes heaven as a home, as the Father's house. And home is such a strong concept, isn't it? I've got a friend who I was talking to earlier in the week, and I love to hear her talk about home. She grew up in the Caribbean, and she'll just speak about when she's on the plane, just about to get to the island in the Caribbean where she's from, and that sense of relief. And she'll speak with such warmth about childhood memories where, the full moon was so bright at night that there was no need for any electricity. And everyone would just gather round in a circle, all the children, and they'd eat fresh fruit off the trees and listen to a story from one of the elders. And it's home. And I love hearing those stories. And I think we all love hearing those stories because many of us, have a strong connection with the concept of home, whether it's the Caribbean or London or Cardiff for me. We love home. And when Jesus speaks about heaven as the Father's house, when he speaks about heaven as a home, that's what he's drawing on. If we're trusting in Jesus, when we come home, that feeling, that comfort when we cross the threshold of our own house will just be magnified 1,000-fold when we know that we are really, really home with our Father, with our Saviour forever. That is real life. That is the life that Jesus offers. That is the life that Jesus is. Will you live that life? Have you trusted in Jesus? Are you following him as a disciple day by day? If you are, that life is yours, and you can even know a taste of it now. And we've thought a bit, just as we conclude, about life this morning, new life, and someone who's passed on. And all of us, I think, can think about people that we've lost. Brothers and sisters in Christ who were so faithful, who we looked up to, who are with us no more. Know and be comforted because they are more alive than any of us. And that is wonderful. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray that everyone in this room, from the oldest to the youngest, would all know what it is to trust in Jesus and follow him. Father, we pray that we would all have that certain hope of real life to look forward to when we die. And we pray that every single one of us would have a taste of that life even today as we know fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.